This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome in Susan Waldman. Susan's appearance is brought to you by Empower Solar. Susan getting set to head to L.A. Game one Friday night. What a dream matchup. 15 years, Susan. Been a long time since you called a World Series game. How pumped up are you?
I'm actually very pumped up about it because this is, World Series are great. I've obviously done a lot of them, but Yankees-Dodgers is... I think it's the ultimate for everybody, and if you can't love this, then you don't love baseball.
I'm with you, Susan. That was the first, I was telling Sal the other day, that was the first World Series I remember, just based on my age. I really remember watching pitch by pitch, and that was the 81 World Series. Of course, the Yankees lost to the Dodgers. Great Dodgers team. But when that ball by Soto leaves the fence, I mean, where's it ranked for you? Of all the moments you've been in the booth, is that number one? I mean, what is it?
No.
That's not okay.
Is it number one? Do I have to pick them?
No, you don't have to.
No, I mean, I've done every World Series since 96 here. There are a lot of great moments. There's a lot of great moments. There's Tino. There's Brocious. There's Mariano. There's a thousand things. That was good. It was good.
That at bat,
it's a long
Susan.
List, Alan. Yeah, I do get that.
Here's the thing that's interesting about Soto is that everything that he does, and I've said this before, every at bat is a three act play, and even when he doesn't succeed, he terrorizes pitchers. They're exhausted by the time they finish with him, and that's been going on all year, and you could see it. And what I loved about that at bat is that you watch him; he's almost like a musician just playing different notes until he gets the chord that he wants. And he was able to foul pitches off and destroy pitches, and he does all those little things: the little smile at the pitcher, the little finger wave. It's all those kinds of things that go into what makes him a must-watch. He's one of those guys that, you didn't get out of your seat when Reggie was up. You didn't get out of your seat when Daryl Strawberry was up. And and if you miss some of the guys on this team, then, you shouldn't be a Yankee fan. Soto's one of them. It's terrific.
It was incredible to watch because it was the first time, Susan, in my life I can remember watching a game knowing that the batter was telling the pitcher, I've got you beat. There's nothing.
He's done this all year.
Yeah, but in this spot, in that spot, you're right. I mean, this is what he does. I know that. But in that spot, postseason, World Series trip on the line, to do it against a terrific reliever, against Gattis, my God, was that just impressive. You're right. He does this all the time. So he's going to get 600.
He's the same person. He's exact. And if you look at all of these guys, you look at Judge, you look at Stanton, you look at Soto, they're the same every single at bat. They know exactly. And Soto, for 25, is quite extraordinary. He knows exactly what he's doing. And, there are times when he doesn't do that. But in this intimidation, I think it really worked. I know they were also exhausted, which is what happens when you build a team on a bullpen and not on starting pitching.
Yeah, I definitely want to get to the pitching aspect here. Susan Waldman, of course, with us here. BT and Sal and John and Susan, every pitch throughout the World Series. And hopefully we get to number 28, of course, right here on The Fan. So, before we get to Holmes and Weaver, some other pieces, Gerrit Cole, one really good start, two others. We know he's not quite the same as a year ago. Understandably, he was hurt. Do you think he's got multiple quality starts where he can shut down, or at least borderline shut down, these Dodgers who can hit?
Has he got it in him? Sure, he's got it in him. I mean, and that's of course he does. He's not. It's not the same as last year, but he's been working all year to get here. And you know, the first game, you know, this is where he grew up. There's going to be a few people there for him,
yeah.
And it's going to be interesting if he can keep emotions under control. He gets a little amped up. I think he should be able to. There's no reason to. And, you know, when you're in this spot and who he is and why he was brought here, this is why he's here. And he had said that to me on a couple of interviews that we've had different, you know, clinching after champagne, whatever they are. He said, this is why I'm here. This is why I came here. And this is why he wanted. And, you know, the first thing you see, a flashback, Yankee fan today, you know, today, tomorrow, forever, whatever. I see that little boy. And, you know, now that little boy is going to get to have his dream and to have it in Los Angeles, I think is, you know, it's the stars are aligning for everything.
I feel like, Susan, if the Yankees pitch, they're going to win this series because I know we've both talked about it. And you were saying, well, going in, maybe concerns about the Yankee offense just because in the postseason that's been their thing. They don't generally hit the way that they do in the regular season. I feel like that's now against this Dodger team. Yankees will score some runs. I'm just curious about how they're going to pitch this most potent lineup that they'll be facing with the Dodgers.
Well, I think this, you know, and a lot of people might not agree. I think this is going to be a high scoring series because both these are really two high powered offenses. The Yankees are really good at game planning, however. And they are really good at it. I do know that. I don't know about Flaherty. He wasn't so great the last time out. Yamamoto pitched the best game of the year here in Yankee Stadium against the Yankees this summer. It was right before he got hurt. But they had their starters. That's it right there. Walker Buehler can be good. He also is coming off an injury. He's not the same. Walker Buehler used to throw 100 miles an hour. He doesn't go anywhere near that now. I think the Yankees have a better chance because they are not. They have more starters. They have more really good starters. If you look at it, if everybody pitches up to their potential, the Dodgers are going to have to do at least one bullpen game, at least one. Those in a seven-game series can come back to haunt you, whether they will or not. Listen, this is a great Dodger offense we're seeing. We've seen it all postseason. They're really good. And all those lefties also, we're going to have to see what Cole can do. And, you know, hopefully he'll be up to it.
So we're talking to Susan, of course, yep. Here on the Fan. BT and Sal, you know, we all can guess what this means for those of us who grew up in the area and played baseball and had this dream, as crazy as, it, you know, in hindsight it was, of actually making the majors. Anthony Volpe actually did it. I'm not sure if you saw the picture. Yeah. Did you see the picture?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Oh,
yep.
Man. What an adorable kid. Yeah. He's 9 years old. And can you share something that maybe we haven't had access to? Just what maybe a conversation on the plane. What you think this is just truly means to him being from here?
Well, I'll tell you who I just came up in the elevator with, and then you can. His mom and his grandparents are here, and they're going. They're going with us to L.A. This is, and he's kind of soft spoken and doesn't talk a lot about it. But when I talked to him after the game, kept saying before we went on air, I said I can't believe it. You know, you dream about this. Also, when he decided to sign and not go to Vanderbilt with his buddy Jack Leiter, one of the scout who said that, he said, you know, if you go to school, you're not coming. It's not coming around again.
Yeah.
He would not have been drafted again by the Yankees.
By the Yankees.
He would have been a higher draft pick.
Yep.
And the Yankees always draft low. So you have to think about that also. So the fact that he didn't go to school because he knew this was his shot to go after his dream, I think that's wonderful. I just love the way, you know, they do that. I love the last story about, you know, Wells was in Wells has been in a slump. So he and Volpe, remember the chicken parm story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
Volpe
last year, Peter, yeah.
Shearer was chocolate cake and ice cream. And it was the day before that Wells hit the home run. And I don't know if that's what did it. But you love those kinds of things. You know, it's a family thing for him. His parents are very involved. And for example, when we went to Milwaukee, one of the kids, Blake Perkins, and a bunch of the guys all played at Somerset and lived in the house. And so one was being called up. So Volpe's parents went so that they could celebrate with him about coming up and facing the Yankees. This really is part of a family here. And it's, You know, it doesn't come around a lot, but for Anthony Volpe, it really has. What is he, 23?
Yeah, 23, 24. And it's not like it's a cute 24. Little story. He's actually swung the bat really well. I mean, hitting some bad luck against Kansas. He looks good swinging the bat, Susan.
He does. And a lot of that is that flattening out of that swing and not going, because everybody wants to pull and everybody wants to have that uppercut and everybody wants to hit a home run. And I don't know whether it was in the chocolate cake ice cream thing that they decided to do that. But when Anthony, he can pull and he does pull. But when he, like Glaber, goes the other way, you see that flat swing and you see those line drives all over the park. And that's what he did against Cleveland.
You got any fun plans, Susan, for L.A.? Or is this all business being that it's the World Series?
No, this is business. This is business. The hours are very long, and I like spending hours and hours and hours at the park. So,
you think
you this?
Know,
this doesn't come around a lot.
No, this is it. I mean, this is the greatest world. Now, look, I'm a Met fan, so obviously for me it's a little different. But 15 years. What I was saying that the Yankees being in the World Series is great for baseball. It's great for the city because love them or hate them, you're going to be locked in at every pitch, and then you throw the Yankees Dodgers. It's a matchup, Susan, that I'm too young to have seen myself, but I've heard about it forever, whether it dates back to the 50s or as BT referenced before, the 80s. This is a great matchup here. Do you think this is World Series win or bust for the Yankees?
Well, they say it is, but I mean, World Series, Joe Torre always used to say the World Series is totally a crapshoot. You've done everything you can, to get here. There are other little things that are in this, like Aaron Boone and Dave Roberts, who were competitors when he went to Boone went to USC and Doc was at UCLA and competed against each other. They didn't like each other back then. I guess they do now. But there's all kinds of storylines in here that you're going to hear. These guys have known each other since college. One went to USC and one went to UCLA. So it's kind of interesting. And of course, everybody says it's World Series or bust. But there's not a lot you can do once you're here, and things happen. Those series, and I don't remember a lot of them, but that series in the 50s and with the Brooklyn Dodgers and all that, there were a lot of them. Those all except one, I believe, went seven games. So they were all, once you get to game seven, it really is a crapshoot. Who falls down? Who makes a mistake? But this is pretty good, isn't it?
It's phenomenal. And all those but one went to the Yankees. I said, of course, 55 when the Dodgers broke through, of course, from Brooklyn. BT and Sal, Susan Waltman, as the Yankees and the Dodgers get ready for the World Series. John and Susan together calling it phenomenal. All the action here on The Fan. We're the home of the Yankees. By the way, we've got Yankee tickets to give away on Friday. Our show, Boomer and Geo, the afternoon show. So it's Yankees up the wazoo. Quick one here. Did those dopey Dodgers fix that stupid outfield fence yet? I got to get ahead of this.
I don't know. And that's one of the first things. We have a workout tomorrow, and I'm going to go out there, and I'll send you a picture.
Okay, please do. Nice.
I can still see that, and it better be padded, because if Juan Soto runs into that, I'll kill them myself.
Yeah, get the axe that you would throw with Meredith and throw it right at them. Just throw an axe at them.
Right. We could do that. Yeah, no, it's going to be really interesting. It's a different atmosphere out there altogether. Not my favorite place on earth, but yeah.
And Susan, for Judge specifically, this has been his group since 2017. The Yankees got to Game 7 of the ALCS. They hadn't gotten as close until this year. They finally broke through and are now in the World Series. What do you think this means for Judge here leading the way to get to play in the World Series?
I think it means the world to him. I think it really does. He takes this. He doesn't say a lot. He's very Jeter-esque. He always does the right thing. But I know that emotionally for him, this is really a big deal. And this is something that he's played with for so long and wanted to be here. And, still, I hope he can put out the losing to Houston after this, because you're here and you went through a lot of teams to get here. The other person who has really got to be feeling this, who sat in Dodger Stadium when he was a little boy, is Giancarlo Stanton. And what he has done in this playoff series, I think, has been monumental for him and his legacy. And this is someone also that has waited for this a very, very long time.
Yeah. And speaking of Stanton, who are those two dopes that you were talking to a couple of weeks ago that were saying to Ben Stanton? Who are those idiots? I got to make sure I don't listen to them.
Well, that's been going on all year. That's been going on all year. I still am waiting for some guy on Instagram to apologize to me in April for saying that they should send sent Aaron Judge down to get his swing back.
Oh, God, jeez.
We're still waiting for that. But we should bench Stanton. Anybody else you want to bench until we bite?
I'm going to let Booty do his job.
Is it okay that everybody's here?
The only thing we're
going to see is whether Nestor Cortez is on the on the roster and who goes. So that
Do you think he will be?
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
Yeah, I do.
Yep.
Because he pitched yesterday, and when he came out and he said, you know, if I get a ring, if I have to trade that for missing a year, I mean, he could, you know, he's got a flexor strain, which leads to you know what, but if he's ready to go, and I know he pitched to people yesterday and declared himself ready, my guess is yes, because he would be a big – there's too many lefties on that team.
Would he start game four or out of the pen?
Pen.
No. He would be out of the pen. And the thing you love about Nestor is that he's not scared of anybody. He would not be scared of Ohtani. He would not be scared of Freddie Freeman. And that's a big thing. He would go right after these guys, and since they haven't seen him a lot, it might be good. But then who goes? Do you take a pitcher off? Do you take either – Trent Grisham or Jason Dominguez off the roster? That's going to be kind of interesting, too.
Yeah, that is true. Last thing for me here, Susan, and this is definitely more of a sports radio thing, but I'm sure you'll appreciate this. I'm going to bring up Mattingly again. To me, there's one Yankee, and then it ties into Judge, who never won, who is as revered as any other Yankee, and that's Mattingly. Nobody else. Not Winfield, nobody. Does he have, as great as he is, and so many ways Judge is better than Mattingly, certainly in power, does he have to ultimately win to be an all-time iconic Yankee?
Well, see, Mattingly is totally different because the teams weren't good. I mean, it wasn't Mattingly's fault.
Nope.
And these teams are good. But, you know, too, if you're not an all-time iconic Yankee unless you win. But Mattingly is a whole other. I mean, he's my favorite Yankee of all time. It's never going to change. I don't care who walks in here.
Yep.
And it's everything he was. And to me, that series against Seattle, where he hit, 417 and hit that home run, I thought that place was coming down when he hit that home. I mean, it's just, I've never seen anyone as loved as Don Mattingly. And I know that's a lot of times. And Jeter is loved and everybody's loved. But for me, and for a lot of people, it's always going to be Don Mattingly. But the whole situation was different. Don Mattingly was one of these guys that he could be your brother. He could be your, little brother. He could be your boyfriend. He could be your husband. He could be somebody's son. He also was one of those guys who obviously had talent, but made himself into an extraordinary player. And I think that everybody also always thought, if I had worked a little harder, I could be Don Mattingly. Because he just had that everyman whole thing that was going on with him, from the popcorn and taking the popcorn out of the little kids.
I remember that.
In the stands, everything about him, and he was the captain. That there's no Bernie Williams without Don Mattingly.
Yeah,
he
saved them from Mel Hall. Basically, Mel used to abuse him on the bus,
and there were more people too.
Okay.
But it was like yes,
yeah.
And it was, and he's the one who said you belong here, but you have to do it. But he was the one that was there, and there are so many people that actually happened with Mattingly. And I'll tell you a quick story about Mattingly and his whole thing. Remember Pat Kelly when he was the rookie?
Second base. Sure.
I came in one day, but it's maybe third week.
Let the
Mattingly.
Reception. Oh, I need this.
Oh.
We're good. We're good.
You're back.
We're good.
Okay. All right.
Nice.
Slap me for moving. Are you there?
Yep.
Yes.
It's a good story. Okay. It's a good story.
I can't wait to hear it.
Looking at Pat Kelly, and I go over there and I said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm watching Donnie. And I said, watching Donnie do what? And he said, I'm watching Donnie put the socks and stirrups on. I want to do it right.
Oh, God, I love that. It's so simple, but it's so awesome. God, I love Mattingly.
I love Mattingly, too.
Love him.
He didn't win anything.
Hey,
so Susan, how many people hit you up for World Series tickets?
They wouldn't dare. I don't get World Series tickets. Everybody has to buy them. And the day I spend $1,000 on a World Series ticket, no. You'll have to watch it on TV. It's like somebody will say, can you get me tickets? I say, oh, sure. I have them in my desk. How many do you need?
Yeah.
No, no. This is very different.
Or you could get them for free if you listen to the show. We'll be giving them away all day Friday. Thank you, Susan. Have a great call.
Okay, guys.
We'll be listening.
Let's go, Yanks.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Enjoy it.
Susan's appearance brought to you by Empower Solar. Supercharge your savings and electrify your life.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.